Today is May the 17th, 2020. And if you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to get there in just a few minutes. In our culture, we know what things look like when it's 2 weeks before Christmas, right? A lot of decorations, shopping, special sales, Christmas songs everywhere. And we all know what things look like when it's 2 weeks before Easter. Decorations, special sales, lots of bunnies and eggs everywhere. Well, today, it's 2 weeks before Pentecost. And most calendars don't even mention it. Christmas, of course, the remembrance of the Savior coming into the world, the birth of Christ. Even though we must admit that Santa Claus sometimes seems to get more attention. Easter is the remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But again, we have to admit that sometimes bunnies and eggs seem to get more attention. And, you know, it truly was a great day for humanity when Jesus Christ was born. The long-awaited Messiah had arrived. But on that night in Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, nothing for mankind changed that night. Jesus Christ had not yet fulfilled all God had sent him to do. But after Jesus Christ did fulfill all that was required for mankind's redemption and salvation, and after being in the grave for 3 days and three nights, God raised him from the dead to die no more. The resurrection of Jesus Christ opened the door for what God had waited and planned for centuries. The stage was now set for the greatest event ever for all of mankind. And that event came less than 2 months after the resurrection, when God would make available for any human being to not only receive eternal life, but to receive his Spirit. And of course, that event took place on the day of Pentecost, which is recorded in Acts chapter 2. Although the outpouring of God's Spirit was prophesied by Joel and others, prior to that day of Pentecost that's recorded in Acts 2, the receiving of God's Holy Spirit was never openly available to any and all human beings. Prior to that wonderful day of Pentecost, we can read about people in the Bible God gave his Spirit to in the Old Testament, but when that great day of Pentecost came, it truly was the greatest day for all of mankind, as God made available for any human being to receive his Holy Spirit. You know, the Apostle Peter would later refer to that day as the beginning. And it really was the beginning of something magnificent. A new age, a new administration, a new way in which God would be involved with human beings. The Bible refers to it as the administration of the grace of God, the administration of the mystery. There is a fantastic aspect and great truth of this new administration that sometimes is overlooked, and I'd like to share that with you in 2 weeks on the day of Pentecost. But for today and for next week, let's review some other important points. I think for most of you on this phone hookup today, what I'm going to share today and next Sunday is not necessarily new. We're going to be reviewing, which is a good thing to review. It's like Peter said in his epistle, even though you know these things, I'm going to stir you up by putting them in your remembrance. And it's not only a great time of the year to review and remind ourselves of these great truths, but in the uncertain days we are living in, we're not helpless people. We all look forward with great anticipation to Christ coming back, and rightly so, but until then, we are not helpless people. We have God's Word, and we have been given His Spirit. Today, I want to briefly look at the words Holy Spirit. The misunderstanding of Holy Spirit, those two words, has led to a lot of confusion, wrong teaching at times. And obviously, this is not going to be an exhaustive study, but let's review a few things. And really, the logical starting point would be that in the King James Version of the Bible, sometimes they translate it Holy Spirit, and other times Holy Ghost. And that ghost, that's Old English. So just to keep things simple, I'm going to refer to it as Holy Spirit. So just what hits your mind when you hear those two words? Holy Spirit. There are a number of different meanings for the word Spirit in the Bible, but generally speaking, Holy Spirit has two main meanings. One of them is God, and the other is His gift. Both God and His gift in the Scriptures are called Holy Spirit. Reading and understanding the context in which the words Holy Spirit are found is really, really helpful in understanding whether it's talking about God or His gift. For example, in Luke 1, you can read where the angel told Zacharias that the child he was going to have, who would be John the Baptist, would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And also in chapter 1 in Luke, you can learn that John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And his dad, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, it says Simeon, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, it ought to be pretty obvious that a human being cannot be filled with God Almighty. In Isaiah, it talks about heaven, which is pretty big, right? Heaven is God's throne and the earth is His footstool. So it should be pretty obvious. A human being cannot be filled with God Almighty, the Creator, but a person could certainly be filled with the Spirit from God if God chooses to give them His Holy Spirit. In the book of Numbers, to help Moses, who had God's Holy Spirit, God graciously granted 70 others to receive His Spirit to help Moses with the job that he had. And if you're familiar with that record, Joshua heard two guys prophesying. They were operating the Spirit that God had given them. And he ran to Moses and said, "Hey, I saw these two guys out there prophesying outside. They were, you know, doing this and that." And Moses is like, "Well, what's your problem?" In Numbers 11, Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them." Wow. Moses looked forward to the day when God would pour out His gift of Holy Spirit so that all of God's people would have His Spirit. Isn't that awesome? That is just beautiful. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." In other words, God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, told them what to write. There are numerous places in the Scriptures where the words Holy Spirit refer to God. But you can't just say every time those two words come up, they always mean God. If you turn to Luke chapter 11, and look at a few places where Jesus Christ spoke about Spirit. Luke chapter 11. Because Jesus Christ did on a number of occasions speak about the coming of God's gift, Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, "If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. God, the Father, God who is Holy Spirit, will give the Holy Spirit, meaning his gift of Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, look at verse 38. He that believes on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And what was he talking about? Well, the next verse tells you. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. God's gift of Holy Spirit was coming, but not at that time, because Jesus Christ, he had not yet completed the work necessary for salvation and redemption. He had not yet died. He had not yet been raised from the dead. He had not ascended into heaven. Not yet, but the day was coming. In chapter 14 of John, verse 10, believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. How did the Father, God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, how did God dwell in him? Jesus was given God's Spirit. We'll see that in a couple of minutes. But also here in John chapter 14, look at verse 26. But the Comforter, and here this gift of Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. When did the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, come? On the day of Pentecost. Let's look at a couple more. Chapter 15, pretty close by. Chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. In chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, for he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth, is come, the Spirit of truth is come. You know, on his very first appearance to them after the resurrection in John 20, Jesus said, and when he had said this, he breathed in and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting, and it's really important. Before his death, Jesus spoke many times about the coming of Holy Spirit. In his first appearance after his resurrection, he's talking to them about receiving the Holy Spirit. And it's extremely significant to note the very last thing Jesus said before he ascended. If you flip over to Acts chapter 1, we'll see this. The very last thing that Jesus said before he was ascended into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, it says, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence, in just a few days. Oh my gosh, how exciting this must have been. And then in verse 8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And verse 9 says, and when he had spoken these things, it's the last thing he said, you're going to receive power when you get the Holy Spirit. When he had said these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. 8 days later came the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now, God's people had been celebrating this Feast of Pentecost every year for many, 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 many years. But in chapter 2, verse 1, as you see there, it says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come," putting emphasis on this particular day of Pentecost. This was the day God had waited and planned for centuries. But someone may ask the question, why? Why was it such a big deal for God to make his Spirit available when for all those years and centuries, they'd all gone by without God's Holy Spirit available to anyone and everyone? So why was this such a big deal? And sadly, for many Christians, it's not a very big deal. But it sure looks like a big deal if you have eyes to see. Jesus, right before he died, cried out, "It is finished." He completed the Father's work. He died. He was buried 3 days and three nights in the tomb, then raised from the dead. Then he spent 40 days with them and then ascended. What a time to be alive, you know, to witness all of that, to walk with Jesus Christ, to see all the miracles, you know, and then all the drama with him being arrested and beaten and then crucified, and then he raised from the dead, and then he's with them for 40 days, and then he ascends into heaven. So now what? Well, that was nice. That was sure a fun time. Wow, that was exciting. Back to business as usual? No, 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 no. Again, the last thing he told them, Acts 1:5, "John truly baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you." And then, 8 days later, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Look at the sequence of events in those last 50 or so days. How can this event on that day of Pentecost not be such a huge big deal? You know, a great key in understanding God's gift of Holy Spirit is understanding God's original design and plan for human beings. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Is the body the same thing as the soul? No. Is the spirit the same thing as the body? No. If you would, go all the way to the front of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 2. In chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, we can see very clearly God's original design for human beings was a three-part being, having a physical body, which we can all see, right? Having a soul, and the third part was spirit. In chapter 2, of Genesis, verse 7, first part of verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." You know, our bodies are made up of the elements of the earth. So that's the first part there. That's the physical body. And then it says, And then this is what God did. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. So you got body, you got soul. The third part was spirit, and you see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God. What is the image of God? What does God look like? Well, the Bible's really clear that God is spirit, and that God has no form, that God has no hands, no feet, no eyes, no ears. God doesn't look like us. Remember when Jesus Christ in his resurrected body, he said, look, I'm not a spirit. Touch me, handle me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have. God is spirit, and it says he created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them in his image. God's original intention was for human beings, both male and female, to be three-part beings. And then I'm sure you're probably familiar that in chapter 2, God gave the man and the woman a command. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. Is that pretty specific? I think so. In the day you shall surely die. Well, we know from chapter 3, they disobeyed. But then they lived for hundreds of years after that. Was God mistaken? No, they died. The question is, what died? Now, in communication, when we're talking and communicating, the absence of life is referred to as death, right? Just like the word birth means the beginning of life. The word death means the end of life. Very simply, on that day in the garden, they lost spirit life. They lost God's Holy Spirit. God never intended human beings to simply be body and soul, but he designed human beings to have a physical body, soul life, and spirit life. And on that day, they did indeed die because they lost spirit life. You know, in the book of Romans, it refers to God's gift of Holy Spirit as the Spirit of life. And it also says in Romans 8, the Spirit is life. In 2 Corinthians 2, it says the Spirit, God's gift, Holy Spirit, gives life. That terrible day in the garden, they lost life. They lost God's Spirit, and thus they died. And so from that day forward, God set in motion a plan of redemption for mankind. And during this process, God gave certain people his spirit, including his son, Jesus Christ. If you flip back to Acts chapter 10, we'll see this very clear, that God gave Jesus spirit. Acts chapter 10, this is when Peter was at Cornelius' house. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. God gave Jesus Spirit, Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. God gave Jesus his spirit, and it was the spirit that enabled Jesus to do so many wonderful and miraculous things. Well, isn't that great? God gave Jesus Holy Spirit. And you know what it says about you and I who are born again? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look what God has given you and me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8, he therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Wow, isn't that something? 1 Corinthians 6 says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. We have God's Spirit in us. For those who are born again, God has given us His Holy Spirit. And His gift of Holy Spirit became available to anyone on that great day of Pentecost. You know, a few weeks ago, we were looking at that record in the Gospel of John with Jesus and Nicodemus, where it was talking about two births, born of water and born of the Spirit. Birth produces life. So born of the water, that's the first birth. We have a body and we receive soul life. The second birth, the new birth, born again, born from above, we receive spirit life because it's a birth. And when there's birth, there's life. We receive spirit life, which is eternal life. And so on that day of Pentecost, God made it available for the first time for anyone and everyone to receive eternal life by receiving His gift of Holy Spirit and the ability to operate it. How is this not a huge big deal? Well, go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read a couple more verses from there. Then you won't have to turn anywhere else if you can find Acts 2 again. We've been all over the place this morning. Acts 2, we read this before. Let's just read it again. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, at the beginning of this teaching, I made reference to some people in Luke chapter 1 who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, here's the 12 in the temple. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to operate the Spirit because there are 9 manifestations, operations, evidences of the Spirit. One of them is speaking in tongues, and that's what they did. And then, of course, you know, people all around there heard them, and then there was some brilliant people that went, you guys are drunk. And that's when Peter stood up and said, look, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, you goof. We're not drunk. And then Peter preached this beautiful, wonderful sermon. And at the end of it, in verse 32, Peter's preaching, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He, Jesus, has shed forth this which you now see and hear. They were wondering, what is this all about? He preached to them about Jesus Christ being Lord, how God raised Him from the dead, and then He said, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David, verse 34, is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, oh my gosh, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, look at this, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter told him to repent. Repent means to change your mind. Remember, Peter had said to him, look, you crucified him. Yeah. You were there in the crowd going, yeah, crucify him, crucify him. Repent. Change your mind. If you'll read all of what is recorded in Peter's preaching here in this chapter, you'll see quite clearly he was preaching Jesus is Lord of all men. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He's the Savior. And God raised him from the dead. Repent. Change your mind. on who you think Jesus Christ is. And remember, John 3:16 said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember what Jesus said in John 7? We looked at that just a little while ago, when Jesus said, but this, where it says in John 7, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Oh my goodness, by believing, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. They which believe on him should receive. When it comes to receiving God's gift of Holy Spirit, I think Jesus is a pretty good authority. You know, he that believeth on me should have eternal life. Accepting Jesus as your Lord, acknowledging he is the one, he's the Savior, Jesus is Lord of all men and women, and believing that God raised him from the dead, that is what it means to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. By the way, a little sidebar here. I mentioned earlier, every occurrence of the words Holy Spirit does not automatically mean it's referring to God. In the same way, every occurrence of the word baptism or baptize does not necessarily mean water's involved. If people want water, okay, fine, have water. But I know John the Baptist himself said, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. If you want to understand about water baptism, I would say John the Baptist is a pretty good authority. Yes? And we just read in Acts 1 where Jesus said, John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When it comes to baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit, I think Jesus is a really good authority. Would you agree? So Peter told them, look, repent, change your mind, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. He was inviting them to change their mind about who Jesus was, and he just taught them Jesus was Lord of all men, and God raised him from the dead. And verse 39, for the promise, oh my goodness, God had been waiting for this day. It had been prophesied. It had been promised. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The door was now wide open to anyone and everyone. And on that great day of Pentecost, if you keep reading here, about 3,000 believed and received God's gift of Holy Spirit. For the first time ever, God opened the door for anyone and everyone to get saved, to receive remission of sins, to receive eternal life, and to receive God's wonderful gift of Holy Spirit. What a day! Look at the sequence of events that happened in less than 2 months. Something that had never been available for the human race ever. What a day! And yet, no decorations, no fanfare, not even a mention on a calendar. I can absolutely assure you that the downplaying, the wrong teaching, and in many cases, ignoring this great and wonderful day is certainly not the work of God Almighty. Over the next 2 weeks, I would encourage you to read Acts 2 a few times. In fact, it'd be fun to read the whole book of Acts. Next Sunday, we'll continue reviewing some very important aspects and truths relating to God's outpouring of his gift of Holy Spirit. And then 2 weeks from today, on Pentecost, I'd like to share with you a really fantastic aspect, a great truth about this time we are living in, this new administration that is sometimes overlooked. So, yeah, this is turning out to be a three-part series. And I will post this teaching on the blog, hopefully a little later today or by tomorrow. And I mentioned at the beginning of this teaching, it's not only a great time of the year to review and remind ourselves of these great truths regarding God's gift of Holy Spirit, but In these uncertain days that we're living in, we are not helpless people. Yes, we're all looking forward with great anticipation to Christ's return, rightly so. But until then, we are not helpless. We have God's Word, and we've been given His Spirit. It's in us. And I pray and trust that as we continue to look at some of these great truths in God's Word, it will help us during these uncertain days, where the Scripture says, God is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, what a great giver You are. And Father, how You so love human beings. And Father, how You so love that You made it available that any human being who believes in Jesus could have everlasting, eternal life. And while we wait for the great realization of that eternal life, You've given us Your Spirit so that, Father, we could walk and talk with You, so that You could lead us, guide us, direct us. Father, how grateful we are this morning to see a little bit in Your Word of Your great plan and how it was fulfilled on that wonderful day of Pentecost. Thank You for Your many blessings. I pray and ask You to bless every person on this phone-in fellowship this morning. And thank You, Father, for the great privilege to share a little bit of Your Word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, thank you all for joining us on this phone-in fellowship. We will do it again next Sunday, and feel free to give the information to anyone you think might be interested or blessed. And I'm going to now unmute everyone's phone so that we can all at the same time say goodbye to each other. Sure love you. Thank you very much, and God bless you.